Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Of all the things that we could discuss on the air today, I don't want to lose a minute of the time that we have together. I want to use it all to talk about our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, today. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, amen, I pray that you will stay tuned as well to this broadcast. I want you to hear what the Bible has to say about this wonderful Savior that loves you so much that He went to the cross to take your punishment in order to forgive you and to forgive me. We want to tell you about Jesus today. Amen. So I pray that you will stay tuned. You know, friend, we're all going to die one of these days. The Bible said it's appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. So it's real important that we are prepared for this event that is going to come to every one of us. Amen. This is a time that so many people are living so recklessly, and we pray that we will reconsider, if you're not a Christian, that you will listen to this broadcast and take a good look at Jesus Christ through the eyes of the Scripture and the Bible and what it declares. Amen. We want you to have a clear understanding of who He is, what He has accomplished in your behalf, and what awaits all of us who trust in Him as our Lord and personal Savior. If you're a Christian today, we're glad you have returned to hear this broadcast concerning Jesus Christ. We're going to be ministering out of the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. I know there's a whole lot of perspectives, but there are so many parts of the book of Revelation that are Christian clear, that can be clearly understood. You need not be afraid to go to this great book and to read. But it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of just end time cataclysmic events, although those things are recorded here. It's not about the Antichrist, although his short-lived influence on the earth is recorded in this great book, but it is primarily about Jesus Christ. It begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine. Praise God. That's how this book starts. Hallelujah. And it ends with the church with Jesus walking in victory forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So I've read the end of the book and we win. Praise the Lord. So you stay tuned to this broadcast today and let's talk about Jesus. If you are know anyone that has a computer, if you will email them or drop them a postcard and tell them about this wonderful radio station, WMAF, we would appreciate it so very, very much. It's a great family-friendly station, and you can tell them about our broadcast stream over the internet. So anywhere in the world and anywhere in the United States, anyone can listen to this broadcast as it streams over the World Wide Web. Just click on WMAF Home, and it will take you to the homepage of WMAF in the right-hand corner. Click on that and turn on your speakers, and this broadcast is taking place all over the world where anyone clicks on that homepage. So we're just so grateful. If you're listening from another country, we're so glad that you are hearing this broadcast today. If you're listening in another state, thank you for tuning back in. And all of you in the Madison area, we're so glad that you're tuned in to your hometown station, WMAF, and listening to this broadcast, this radio ministry originated in Tampa, Florida, where we're working on our 35th year of pastoring the Holy Church of God here in Tampa. So we have a wonderful message today, and we want to move very quickly to the Word of God. We want to talk about seeing Jesus as you've never seen Him before. There's a lot of information in the entire New Testament about Jesus' earthly life and earthly ministry. The book of Revelation takes a quantum leap, takes us into another dimension of Jesus and Him glorified. Jesus and Him glorified. Amen. And this is the Jesus that a lot of people maybe have a misconception or misunderstanding. If you're looking for Jesus, the Jesus that returns to be that kind of doe-eyed Nazarene riding upon a little donkey, that's not the Jesus that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. This glorified Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man simultaneously, in His glory and in His kingdom. And so this is an important message. If you're a Christian, we want you to understand where Jesus is now and what his work is going to be in the future concerning this world. Praise God. Amen. And our lives. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos, but something happened to him on the Lord's day. And he said in verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a voice behind me, a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, 'I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.' And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." I want to stop right here and let you know that this is more like, if you've ever seen the Jewish menorah, you would understand this word better. It wasn't a wax candle as we would think of a candlestick. This was a lampstand, and it's better rendered lampstand. Oil fueled the light on this lampstand, and it becomes a very clear type of the work of the Holy Spirit in and through the church and in and through Christian lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the lampstands, as we see as we read a little further, represent the seven churches. Every church is to be a light, and every Christian is to be a light in a darkened world. Praise God. This is the mighty work of the Holy Ghost within the church and within Christians. Praise God. That's what the church really is. I always tell people that that the church is where the temple goes to worship on Sunday morning, because our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said that we as Christians, if we live an authentic Christian life, that we are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Praise God. Listen to this. "I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death.'" I don't think I'm overstating this at all in saying that John was seeing Jesus as he had never seen him before. Remember that John had been a friend and follower of Jesus in his humanity. He remained faithful to him up to the cross, and then after the resurrection, John saw Jesus in his glorified body before he ascended to the heavens to be with his Father. But now what John was about to see was not Jesus in his humble humanity or even his glorified body, but Jesus in all of his splendor and glory as the only begotten Son of God, wearing robes of the great high priest, full of power and authority, ready to walk among his people in order to purify them, so that his gospel of redemption would be clearly heard in a fallen world. Listen to this very carefully. That phrase we read about him holding the seven stars in his right hand. This is how involved and how intimately, personally involved Jesus is right now today with his church and with his people. Praise the Lord. Amen. The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that God is personally involved with. I don't dare try to use my intellect to intellectually persuade anyone of the great truths of Scripture and of spiritual reality. Only the Holy Spirit can make these great truths known, but He works in tandem as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad to know that I'm not bringing this message to you today in my strength, but in a dependence upon the Holy Ghost who is in the midst. Jesus is in the midst. The Spirit of God is within us, praise God. And He can go through the airways, and He can go through a CD, and He can speak to you if you open your Bible. He can speak to your heart, and He will speak to your heart. If you're not a Christian today, I pray you'll stay tuned. Don't turn the dial now. Amen. Give God a chance to talk to you as we study about Jesus in the Word of God. We'll see one of the key reasons today that God initiated this unveiling to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. You know, this word, revelation, is the word in the Greek. It's rendered apocalyptic. And it's the word we get apocalypse from, apocalypse. And, you know, there was a movie made about the Vietnam War, if you're back from that era as I am, called Apocalypse Now. And we think of apocalypse as all of the terrible events that are going to take place during the Great Tribulation recorded in the book of Revelation. You know, if you're not careful, you can get more focused on the Antichrist in the book of Revelation than you can Jesus Christ, and more focused on the judgments on the world than the victory that is ours in Christ for the church. And above all, you can miss what the whole book is really, really concerned with more than anything else, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, John was seeing him like he had never seen him before. It was to show us Jesus, the Lord of the church, at work. He's no longer as we knew him in the Gospels. He's no longer just the man, Jesus. He is now God and the ruler of the church. He is and was the second person of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost make up one triune God, and his steps did not begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he is at the same time Jesus, the shepherd of his flock. Even though he is very God, he is Jesus, the shepherd of his flock, the great shepherd of the sheep. He is God, the ruler of the church, and he is Jesus, the shepherd of his flock. Isn't it comforting to know that though he is the very mighty God, the everlasting Father, hallelujah, he is also our Redeemer and our friend. Praise the Lord. Someone like the Son of Man, the Bible said in Revelation verse 13, the first thing that struck John was that he is still a man, but he is a glorified man, and he is deity, but he is the Jesus that walked on the shores of Galilee, someone like the Son of Man. This is a reference to the description that the prophet Daniel gave the coming Messiah 800 years before. Let me read it to you in Daniel 7:13. He said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence." Son of Man means Jesus is a human being, as God intended human beings to be when He created them. The description tells us that even though we're going to see Jesus differently than we've ever seen Him before, His Godness, He's still the man, Jesus. That means He's still our high priest. He identifies with us because He was tempted just like we are. He's still human as well as God. So He can bridge the gap between God and man as our intercessor. I love what one commentary said, and I quote, "The form which John had seen enduring the agony of Gethsemane and the shame and anguish of Calvary, he now sees glorified. But in the midst of such glory, he still sees the man. In order to save us, Christ became one like us. While being totally sinless and very God, he became one of the race of man." Someone said, and I like this statement very much, "The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God." Oh, friend of mine, what a joy it is to be identified with God as his son, as his child, as his bona fide sons and daughters because of what Jesus did at the cross. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need." Oh, what a privilege it is to go to the Lord, to come before this throne of grace and mercy, to one who understands me better than I understand myself. Even if I have stumbled and sinned, He understands what caused me to sin. He understands my weaknesses, my failures, my faults, my vulnerabilities. And I can go to Him for forgiveness, and I can go to Him for strength to overcome. I can go to Him for counsel and for wisdom. And He is touched with whatever weakens or hurts our lives. Listen to me today. We're not serving a God that is sitting aloof in His heaven, oblivious to what's going on the very inside of us. But we're serving a God who came down and became one with us and one of us and took on flesh and was tempted like we are. He never sinned, but He knows what it feels like, and He knows how to deliver us, praise God, hallelujah, from temptation, and to preserve us blameless to the coming of Jesus Christ. We have a faithful high priest that's passed into the heavens that understands us and loves us. There's victory in Jesus today. Friend, there's things you can't change. There's things I can't change about me, but there's nothing God can't change within our life. If we come to His great throne of grace and mercy, He receives us, embraces us. If we come with a humble heart, God's going to receive you today. You may say, "Preacher, I can't become a Christian if you're not a Christian. I can't become a Christian I can't live the life, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Well, friend, I take my hat off to you. I'm glad that you have no desire to be a hypocrite. I don't have a desire to be a hypocrite either. I don't want to play a role. That word hypocrite means a play actor, someone playing a role. I'm not playing a role. I have faults and I have failures, but I am a Christian. I've been born of the Spirit. I've been born again, born from above. My name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my allegiance is to the Lamb. Hallelujah. And I'm seeking to live for Him because He changed my heart. This thing doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, but He's an understanding, tender-hearted high priest that knows us better than we know ourselves. And His challenge to you today is to come to Him and let Him forgive you and let Him give you eternal life and let Him become your intercessor. Praise God. Let's read verse 14. It says, He was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He was dressed in a robe reaching down to His feet with a golden sash around His chest. The golden sash and the robe symbolized two offices. Number one was high priest, and number two was king. The phenomenon was written about by King David when he referred to the Messiah being like Melchizedek, and a mysterious high priest of old. Psalm 110 in verse 4 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." This is a mysterious man in the Old Testament. He lived during the time of Abraham. He was unique in that not only did he do intercessory functions for his people, but he was the king of his people as well. That means he was a kingly high priest who could sit in judgment of his people, rule his people, and intercede for his people at the same time. Now that's what one commentator said about Melchizedek. This is what Jesus is doing for human beings right now. He judges our obedience and disobedience. He rules as the Lord of our lives as we live in the kingdom of God. And He bridges the gap between a holy God and sinful man in order to bring them together into a relationship of father and child. He's our judge, and He's our intercessor, our king and our advocate, our Lord and our Savior. Christ is now our judge king. His robes are righteous. He's worthy to judge the church and the world. And He always begins with the church. 1 Peter 4:17-18 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" There's a scripture that goes on to say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That means to face God, not as our Savior and King, but as our judge. Listen to me today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this Jesus who is so mighty and majestic and powerful and honorable, This second person of the Godhead who came to earth and humbled Himself and was born in a manger and died as a man forsaken on the cross, who God raised from the dead and exalted Him and set Him at His own right hand. This Jesus that we're seeing that is going to come back to judge the earth. His eyes were as fire. We'll talk about that next week. His hair was as wool. This is an awesome judgment that is about to come upon the earth. And Jesus has been delegated the right to judge. And you're going to face Him. And I'm going to stand before Him as our Savior, as our great high priest who intercedes for us, who pleads the merits of His own blood sacrifice. Or we're going to face Him as our judge, and we're going to have to accept the penalty that is due us for not receiving the good news of the grace offered us and not acting upon it. Oh, but what a privilege it is to challenge you here today over this broadcast to make your calling and election sure, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You know, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death doesn't end it. Amen. If there's sure as there's a heaven, there is a hell. As sure as Jesus wants to save you, there's an enemy, Satan, who wants to destroy you and wants to take your soul. And I'm not trying to be some kind of use fear tactics to try to get anybody in the kingdom of God. Jesus said clearly, no man comes to me except my Father draw him. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit touching your heart today, there's nothing I could say. If you did act on my word because of fear and not respond to the word of God through faith, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't be true conversion. But I want you to know, when you are pondering whether or not to accept Christ as your personal Savior, as the Spirit of God moves and woos you, and you are trying to figure out what you may have to give up, I want you to quit thinking about that. Amen. It's what you're going to gain, not what it's going to cost you. I'll tell you, I had some sins in my life that were dear sins to me. They were sins I enjoyed and employed in my life, and I wasn't about to give them up until they were put in light of eternity. And there's not a sin that I ever practiced that is worth losing my eternal soul over. And by the way, when I received Jesus, made that decision that I want Him more than I want sin, repented of my sin, asked Him into my heart, hallelujah, He filled my life with so many good things and with His presence and power, amen, gave me the assurance of my soul's destiny being sealed for eternity as long as I trust Christ as my Savior. Friend of mine, what I got was so much greater than what I gave up, it's not even worthy to be compared with it. Not, and I'm not talking about just when I get to heaven. In other words, sacrificing, doing without things here that is sinful. No, I didn't give up anything. When Jesus filled up my heart, hallelujah, amen, I live in a fulfillment that no sin can ever give anybody. I've never seen a consistently happy sinner. I've seen a lot of party animals that put on a big front, but I've never seen a consistently happy sinner. But boy, I know some consistently happy saints, and they are happy in the Lord. They've got the joy of Jesus, amen. No matter what's happening around them, they've got a praise for Him. And I'm glad to have some of them right in my own congregation. And I'm glad to be their pastor, their friend, their brother in Christ, hallelujah, amen. And it excites me to get in a church on Sunday where God's people are gathering and hear the high praises of God sung from people that have had all kinds of negative events touch their lives and some still touching them. But knowing Jesus as their Savior, knowing heaven is going to be their home, knowing that this life is the short little duration and eternity awaits us with Him forever. Hallelujah. How we love to praise the Lord. Friend, that can be your life. That can be the change that happens to you. But I want you to understand, you're not going to meet this man who they took and tortured to death on a cross. You're going to meet the God who was there in creation. When God the Father said to His Son, "Let us make man in our image," in the book of Genesis, He was talking about this Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, never a man, they said of Him, spake like this man. For what manner of man is this, that even the sea and the wind obeys Him? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know why the sea and the waves obeyed Him when He said, "Peace be still," on that troubled sea? Because they recognized Him as the Creator. There was nothing made that He did not make. And today, He can change you from the inside out. He can give you eternal life. He is a wonderful, powerful Savior. And it is my privilege today to invite you to let Jesus come into your heart and let Jesus come into your life. Amen. He loves you today. He has paid a great price to redeem you. And right now, right where you are, would you say, Pastor Venable, I'm opening my heart. Jesus Christ, I ask you to come in and save me. Oh, friend, we can't wait to get back next week and talk about Jesus. We love you. Have a great day.